This week, the Senate will begin to debate revisions to domestic intelligence laws, specifically concerning the telecom industry. Speaking to WMNF this morning from Washington was Carolyn Frederickson, director of the ACLU's Washington Legislative Office. WMNF asked her if the legislation would not only protect telephone companies from lawsuits claiming illegal cooperation with the National Security Agency, but would also retroactively immunize email providers, search engines, instant service providers, and instant message services as well.
Well, you know, the scope of the immunity provision is very uncertain, and, you know, it's not clear, but it very well could. And I think the main focus is to immunize the telecommunications companies, but in what capacity and what services they were offering. But certainly it covers more than phone calls. We're certainly talking about emails here.
Director of National Intelligence Mike McConnell and his allies, I think, have essentially offered four different arguments in support of these amnesty proposals. I want to go through them with you. First one is that he argues is that these lawsuits could bankrupt these companies. We're talking, of course, about the phone companies, AT&T and the like.
Well, I mean, that argument could be used very easily and probably more easily in the other direction, which is to say if they're that worried about being bankrupted, then they really must have committed some bad crimes. Because in order to pay out a fine that large, they're really, really, really guilty. But in any case, you know, Congress doesn't let companies and industries go out of business. Look at what they've done with variety of either companies and industries that made bad business decisions or ones that, you know, were actually doing not so well. I mean, for example, the tobacco industry. They were sued for billions and billions and billions of dollars. Have they gone out of business? I don't think so. Congress put together a fund that was supposed to provide some compensation to the victims, and they moved on. So there are ways of dealing with this to make sure that we don't all end up without a phone company to turn to, although sometimes with the service we get, you wonder if that wouldn't be a better option, but certainly that's just demagoguery.
Right, right. Now, other sources are saying that they're near panic, intelligence sources are, that the telecoms will be forced to terminate their cooperation with the NSA for fear of liability.
Well, you know, again, the telecoms and the NSA, just like the telecoms with the FBI and other law enforcement agencies, have done business for a long, long time. What is being asked is that they actually ensure that they've got proper legal documents, either certification or a warrant as required by the particular statute, in order to ensure that when they turn over customer records or when they let, you know, someone listen to your phone calls or read your emails, they're doing it pursuant to legal process and not just pursuant to somebody's whim that they've decided your email could be really interesting. So, you know, that, again, is demagoguery, that the companies will certainly do business. I think that the issue is we've got to expect both our government and these companies to abide by the law.
We're speaking with Caroline Frederickson from the ACLU's office in Washington. The ACLU is advocating support for a competing version of this bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Tell us about that legislation.
Well, first of all, let me just say we think that even the Senate Judiciary Committee's legislation could be improved, but it's a far step beyond what President Bush is asking for and what Congress passed in August, and then it provides greater protections for Americans' privacy. And one thing that the Judiciary Committee bill does not do, which is significant, is it does not provide immunity for the telecommunications companies. And that's really critical. Again, you know, there needs to be real light shown onto what has happened in with this government program. I mean, really, we don't know. Congress has not got a handle on how many people's information has been looked at by the government. How many people have had their phone calls listened to when there wasn't any appropriate reason to listen to their phone calls? And how many people have had their emails read when there was no appropriate reason to read those emails? You know, those are critical privacy rights that I think we should all value very much in this country, because we need to ensure that when the government invades our privacy, it do so only because there's a real necessity to protect our national security or to prevent a crime.
let's clarify this, Caroline, and that is, I've heard the supporters of the administration on this argue that this surveillance has been, again, for foreign phone calls, but then I'm hearing other things that, no, it's not true. There's domestic calls involved here. What's going on?
Yeah, domestic phone calls can certainly be at issue. The basic thing is that the administration says it's targeting people overseas. But just because the so-called target, which is a very vague term and really undefined, is overseas, who is that person or who are those people speaking to in the United States? And all of us who may get phone calls from abroad from some so-called target, again, very unspecified, very vague, it could be your uncle for all you know. And you get those phone calls and you all of a sudden have your phone being tapped and your phone calls listened to and your emails read, and the government never has to justify any basis for that under President Bush's version of what the law should be.
This legislation coming up on the Senate Judiciary Committee, what's your organization advocating that people do now?
Well, here's the thing. So the Senate Judiciary Committee did require that there actually be a target, at the very least, that when the National Security Agency wants to listen to phone calls, they can't just say, we're going to listen to everything that comes from France, say, or Sweden, or Pakistan, because that would mean that any of us who happen to be talking to anybody in one of those countries would have our phone calls and emails listened to. So Senator Feingold offered a very important amendment in the Judiciary Committee that said, you can't just engage in a dragnet. You actually have to specify that you have a target or targets when you aren't doing this kind of surveillance, because again, the law now that Congress passed in August allows the administration to pick up any phone calls, not just foreign to foreign, but foreign to the U.S., and that means foreign to your house or my house or your neighbor. So it's very critical that that extreme power be limited and justified so that our government isn't just turning into a big brother and listening to all of our phone calls that happen to go overseas.